Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, October 20th. We're back with you. A new week, a new life, a new lease on life, at least. Right, Jen?
Yeah.
You always look at me like, what the hell is he talking about?
What I'm actually thinking.
Right. Because I'm thinking, you know, I never know what I'm going to say before I start the show.
Right.
So as soon as I say the date, it's like I have to come up with something quickly and whatever's on my mind.
Well, hey, if you have a new lease on life, then that's great.
Exactly. Especially with 3.5 hours of sleep.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know what? After a while, I just don't calculate how many hours I have to sleep anymore. Just because it's too ridiculous. But that's okay. You know, I mean, as you can see, I'm all up and about and everything. So it's cool. Maybe my body's just getting used to the 4 hours.
Maybe.
You know? Yeah. So how are you, Jen?
I'm great. How
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, you had a good weekend. We had a long weekend.
Yes.
A very long weekend.
Yeah, I went to North Carolina for my cousin's wedding, and that was a lovely event.
Were those the same people as the family that you went for the wedding last time? Or
no.
Was that the other side of the family or something?
It's actually my godparents' daughter.
Mm, okay.
So not really family at all, but, you know, I think when you've grown up with people around you your whole entire life, they feel like as family would.
Yeah, definitely. So, but it was a different crowd then. It wasn't
very different crowd,
family, right?
Yeah, except for my mom. She
right.
was there.
Yeah.
It was really nice. It was at the Biltmore in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, which is a very cute town.
Really? Asheville? Is that pretty big? Or
No, it's small, and it's kind of like a hippie, artsy craftsman community. Mm. Very laid back, very mountainous, beautiful.
Probably very picturesque. Huh?
Yes. I went to a hotel for lunch called the Grove Park Inn. Uh-huh. It looked like a French chateau.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Yeah.
I saw that picture.
If anybody else wants to see the pictures on Instagram, I posted a few at Jennifer Golden. And it was just beautiful because the weather was like crisp and cool and probably in like the high 60s. So it felt like fall.
Right.
The leaves were changing.
Wow. So you felt some kind of weather.
Right.
Yeah. As opposed to here.
Yeah. And then the wedding was beautiful. It was elegant and it was pretty traditional. Mm. Not really my kind of wedding just because I'm like very much, I don't want like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was beautifully done and I cried because it was lovely to see my cousin, if you will, get married to someone so wonderful and who loves her so much. And everybody was crying.
Yeah. You were able to connect to that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
I'm just
cool.
so happy for her. And it's like so nice to see two people that really do belong together.
Right.
It's different when you're like at a wedding and you're like, oh, why are these people getting married? But these two totally belong together. And it was just so great. And then the band that they had was awesome. They came from New York. They flew them down to North Carolina. They're the house band actually for the show on MTV called Girl Code.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're the house band and they play brass instruments, but they play covers of current songs with their brass instruments. And then they dance while they do it. Uh-huh. And it's like a whole show.
Wow.
It's so entertaining.
That's pretty cool.
It's almost like a Bruno Mars show. Like if you've ever been to one of those or if anybody listening has been to his show, it's not just people standing and playing instruments. It's people dancing with instruments and they're choreographed and it's like a wild experience.
Yeah. Sounds like pretty difficult to do, though, huh? Play an instrument and dance at the same time.
My guess would be it's probably difficult. They seem to have it down, which is why they're so talented. And, I mean, everyone was sweating because everyone was dancing, and they were dancing. And it was just a really wonderful night.
Yeah, so it's an unusual kind of entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if I had a wedding like that with, like, a, you know, kind of like a reception hall and things like that, I would want that kind of band.
Mm.
I would fly them into my wedding.
Yeah?
They're called the Lucky Chops, if anybody's interested in checking them out.
Do they have, like, YouTube videos or something?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And a website, I'm sure, and social media, you can find them, the Lucky Chops.
Mm. Lucky Chops. Okay, sounds good. How many were in the band? Five or something?
I think, like, five or six. Yeah. There was a drummer and a couple brass players. like a saxophonist, a trumpeter, I don't know, some big experience that I didn't know what that instrument was, but it was like sitting on the guy's shoulder and had a big horn attached to it.
Okay.
I don't know what that is, but
they all have horns, right?
But it was like on his shoulder and like came out.
Oh, a tuba.
Maybe it was a tuba.
Right.
Oh my God, I don't even remember the last time.
It's like huge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it plays like the bass. It's
yeah. So it was really, really great. I mean, the band, I think, made the night even more exciting than it was.
Yeah. A lot of people?
I think it was like 105 people.
105, so it's not too big.
I don't know. To me, that's huge.
Really? Because usually, I think weddings average about 200, wouldn't you say?
No, I have no idea.
Like big weddings.
I mean, I'm only like starting to go to weddings now.
Yeah.
Like people in my age range are starting to get married. I already know that I have like three next year. So, and my cousin's fiance, another cousin, asked me to be one of her bridesmaids this weekend. So I was at a wedding getting asked to be part of my cousin's wedding. Uh-huh. And I cried at that too. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. And I'm like just so excited and honored to be part of their wedding.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure all of this is going to rub off or something, and you'll probably be exposed to some of that marriage dust, magic dust or something.
I mean,
who knows?
I think it's around that time. My mom is like really getting on me about it.
Really?
But on my drive to the radio station this morning, I planned my wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was my next question to you is what will your wedding be like? I mean, you said that's not the kind of wedding you would have.
Mine is going to be really low key. So I'll tell you, since you asked.
It's
usually like a Friday through Sunday experience. So Friday night, I don't want like a standard rehearsal dinner. That's not really my scene. I want like a rehearsal experience. So whatever it is, I want everyone that's coming in town, because my wedding's going to be out of town. I want to have like us all do something together. Whatever it is in whatever city it is, I want it to be just like a really fun experience so that everyone can experience where the wedding is.
Yeah.
You know, like you ship everybody out to somewhere and then you like leave them in the city by themselves. But like I want to give everybody like a cool tour or like a wine tasting or go see the Ferris wheel in Paris or something really memorable that we can all do together.
So keep everybody together.
Right. I want a joint shared experience.
Yeah, more than just the reception and the wedding.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Thanks. And then,
now, you said out of town. Where would it be? Have you decided yet?
Anywhere. Okay. Like Santa Barbara, San Francisco, Paris.
Paris, yeah, you said that.
Right. So I'm really...
Paris sounds like an original place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, would everybody fly there, though? I mean,
listen, whoever can afford to can, and it'll weed people out. I don't want a big wedding anyway.
Right.
So those that are determined to be there will, and I totally would understand if somebody couldn't because it costs more than...
Yeah, exactly. You put people through an expense, but at the same time, if somebody wants to make a trip out of it, it's worth it.
And I'm sure, you know, I could plan the same wedding in any city, really. It's just figuring out what cool thing to do on Friday night.
Yeah.
Saturday would be the ceremony, then cocktails, then dinner. But I want it to be very, like, at a beautiful restaurant that has, like, either, like, old wood and it's like a jazzy kind of place or like an outdoor place with like cool lights at like, you know, under the stars kind of thing and like family style dinner. And then whoever wants to go out can continue being out and I will go. I would totally go out for drinks after that and go like dance somewhere. And then Sunday brunch. That's it.
Well, you got it all planned out.
Yep.
There you go. Well, sounds good.
Thanks. I'm like, it's so easy. I'm like, oh, okay. It just came to me as I was driving here. I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well.
There you go.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Yep.
You know, and if that's the way you want it, that's the way it's going to be.
I mean, hopefully whoever I marry is like on board for that wedding.
Well, the guy be damned. You know, the wedding is about the bride and her mother.
See, the thing is, I wanted to, I mean, somebody's got to tell Jan that it's not going to be that because she's already on me about the whole thing. Like while we were at this wedding, she was like, so for your wedding, you're going to need to get my hair done and you're going to need to pick my outfit. I'm like, lady. Calm down.
She's jumping the gun just a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. And she's like, we have to save. Like, it's going to be your wedding soon. I'm like, who am I marrying?
Yeah.
When is my wedding soon?
Well, she's already got her own plans, I guess.
Clearly.
Right?
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that this is much more my speed, and I'm excited for it. And I'm sure the person I marry will kind of be the same like temperament and like want the same kind of experience as I do, just because we'll probably be similar in that way.
No, absolutely. I mean,
I can't imagine he's a groomzilla.
Yeah, exactly. Or that you would do something that he didn't like.
Right.
And I mean, because naturally you'd connect with someone who's into that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I want an easygoing thing. I want it to be a celebration of like us and the people that are celebrating us.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just be about the bride. I don't. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, like, it is. But that's what it usually
is. It's my show every day of the week. I don't. It can be our show for one night.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah. But definitely don't be under pressure, or at least don't rush into things because of other people pressuring you. Because the only reason I'm telling you this, and it's not like something new, I'm sure you've thought about it, but in my case, my first marriage was because I met someone and I wasn't sure. I mean, I had said I wasn't going to get married before 30. And I met her when I was 26. Actually, I didn't even introduce our guest. She's calling in right now a couple minutes early, but we're going to take this call right now. And then we'll go back to that, Jen. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Is this Sam?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
With Jen.
Hi. It's Lori Fortuna.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for calling in. Finally, we were able to connect.
Oh, I'm so... Hey, persistence pays off, right?
There you go. Except I'm hearing a little echo of us back there. So, yeah.
I'm on a landline.
Yeah, no, it usually has nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, lines are lines. Let me ask you to call back in on another line. Maybe we'll get a better line because it's kind of distracting.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
All right. So let me just introduce Lori real quick. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I forgot to
totally fine.
We were going to have a guest. This is Lori Fortuna, and we'll find out where she's calling from. She's a business coach. And she sounds very fascinating, the things that she does. And let's see. Okay, so here comes the call again.
Better?
Not really, but okay. Well, let's go with it, Lori. It's not too bad.
Hey, I'm comfortable with calling back in again if it's easier. I know what background noise is like.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Is it okay to you, Jen?
I'm okay with anything.
Yeah, it's fine. Lori.
Yes.
That echo is a little distracting to me. Okay. Oh, it's gone. Okay, Lori, thank you for calling in. I mean, we've tried to connect a few times, and obviously we still, like, something is trying to keep this interview from happening, but we're going to do it anyway.
I'm with you. I think the universe is trying to see just how determined we are to speak.
Right. And we had to postpone this interview like four times, but I really wanted to have Lori on the show. So thank you for finally being able to join us, Lori. And we're glad. Where are you calling us from today?
Connecticut.
Oh, you're in Connecticut.
Yes.
Sounds cool to me. How's the weather there?
It's a little brisk. It's a little brisk. This past weekend, we got our first frosts, and it's kind of heading back up to the 70-degree-ish that temperature, hopefully later this week. But it's getting, you know, it's that time of year where you got to throw some sweaters on, and it gets a little cold.
There you go. It's fall. That's if you don't live in California.
Right.
We're still in shorts.
Yeah. We're in short sleeves bathing suits.
Exactly. Although I have to say, the foliage this year was fabulous. It was just gorgeous.
Wow. You see, that's something we don't get here. We don't even appreciate it.
No, our leaves don't turn colors at all.
Yeah, exactly. They stay the same. Lori, have you always lived on the East Coast?
I have. I was born and raised on the New York border of Connecticut, and it's actually a city now called Danbury. And then when I met and married my husband, I moved up toward the Massachusetts border of Connecticut. So I've always lived here. I swore when I went away to college I was never coming back, and, well, I lied because I came back.
You came back. Nothing like home. So, Lori, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. I introduced you as a business coach. In your email, you said you're an experiential business coach. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so to give you a little bit of background of why I got there. So I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family. My parents and both sets of grandparents had their own business. So being drilled at a very early age that taking care of your customers are so incredibly important. And then when I went to college and got my experience in the corporate sector, my background was around in human resources. So what I do now is that I basically work with companies whose employees interact with customers, but their brand isn't standing out from their competition, and they want the freedom and support to stop putting out fires and the time to, they really want to transform their brand into something that people can't stop talking about. Yeah. So essentially it's, really bringing back that experience to remember for their customers. Mm-hmm. And that wow experience, that, as I call it, the old-fashioned wow experience. I'm kind of dating myself by saying that, but an old-fashioned wow experience.
Well, it makes sense. It sounds good.
I don't even think I've ever experienced that, but I do dream of it. Like, I know when I'm getting bad customer service, I'm like, there's got to have been a time when this wasn't acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And I mean, I think that's what really, because I knew I wanted to help around, in the business area. And to be honest with you, I can't think of the last time I had a wow customer service experience. And there's so few and far between. And I'm like, what an opportunity. And a lot of times it's the basic steps. It's really being a couple steps ahead of your customer's needs and understanding what that is and implementing it and putting a smile on their face. So it's really basic stuff, but it's stuff that I think because we're in such a fast-paced world these days that, it's more like, if you're at the checkout line at the supermarket, it's like next, 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 instead of maximizing that experience in front of that customer as you're in front of them, even if it's for a minute or two.
That's true. You gotta give some kind of positive feedback to people. Now, I see you focused on the retail industry. It also seems like on the restaurant industry as well, right? I see some of the your clients and things like that. So you're focusing more on like really customer service of like one-on-one, as opposed to people being on the phone and that sort of thing. These are people on the front lines.
Yeah, well, and Tim, that's a great question. So up until now, because my experience, especially in the corporate world, was with those two industries, the majority of my clients have been retail and restaurants. However, at this point, I mean, it's really anyone that has a team. I'm actually putting the feelers out a little bit right now to just see who else resonates with the work that I do. Because I don't know about you, but the last time I, got on the phone with, a customer service rep, I can't say that I had a wow experience there either. So that environment certainly needs the assistance as well. So kind of playing with that right now, just to see if that might be an opportunity in the future as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of companies that could use this, right? I mean,
I just took two flights, actually three flights this past weekend. So I experienced a variety of different kinds of customer service.
Yeah.
One leg of my flight was amazing. Like the people that worked, the stewardesses and the flight attendants actually were phenomenal. And then on another flight, completely opposite. And I was like, how are you the same company and having such different service?
Oh, that's the same company too. Wow.
Well, actually, one was a U.S. Airways flight, and then the day after I took that flight, they announced that U.S. Airways was done, and they had been bought by American, and so they were one company, and I flew back on American.
Right.
So American was terrible. U.S. Airways was amazing, but they might have just been like, today's our last flight. Yay. Let's be nice to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's so true because I know that when I do receive a wow experience, I mean, my husband just cringes because I never stop talking about it because there's so few and far between. I remember within the last year, I think that's really my last great experience. We had a pharmacy come to town. I live in a very small town, and there was just one pharmacy here in town, and this new pharmacy came to town. It was a chain, and I went in there just for the heck of it. I needed something really quick. And oh my God, I felt like they rolled out the red carpet. I felt like a princess. You know, they greeted me and pretty much brought me over to what I needed. And then when I was done, the same greeter jumped on a register to get me in and out of there. It was just a really great experience, and one that I don't have. I mean, I can't tell you the last time it happened, really, before that. So needless to say, everybody that, you know, came in contact with me for the next week or two heard about that, and my husband started rolling his eyes after probably the second or third time I told the story.
Yeah. Now, would you say, I mean, because I've been thinking about this also, would you say that, you know, having like online reviews and ratings and things like this, does this help get better service, would you say? Does it keep companies on their toes more?
It does if they do something about it. I meet all sorts of different individuals, and you know, a lot of companies do it because they have to do it. It's expected in their industry. There's other companies that do it, you know, because they really want the information to take action on it. And then there's the ones in between. But ultimately, that information is just invaluable. And you know, sometimes it, you know, it's hard to hear a bad review. We all want to be, you know, we all want to know that we're doing a great job, but ultimately those negative reviews are just so beneficial to be able to then do, you know, take that information and do something about it and change it. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and again and expecting a different result. So if you keep doing those things and you wonder why that customers aren't wowed by you, you know, I mean, that's really why, you know, they're telling you and you're not reacting. And, you know, that's when they kind of give up and they go to a competitor or find a different place to, you know, to do the business.
Right. And ruin your own business because they didn't like the service there and put up a bad review.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's really, the key is really to reacting to it and doing something about it and turning a negative into a positive.
You're right. It's exactly that. It's an opportunity. I think you're getting, like, free feedback.
Well, there has to be checks and balances somehow. So if no one's, you know, giving feedback, well, how will they know?
Exactly. You know, and some people, they just, like, look at it as a bad thing. They'll probably, start arguing with the customer or everything online and all that. I mean, I've seen that. But all in all, it's just an opportunity to find out how to make your business better, I think. And you have to identify it as that. And like you said, turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It's such an incredible thing to take that feedback and turn it into something. I mean, a lot of people take it personally, and and I understand because their businesses, especially if it's a small mom and pop business, it's, you know, that's their baby. You know, they've you know, in many cases nurtured it from the beginning, and they feel that it's an attack upon them. But ultimately, if you keep doing that same thing, then you know it's not going to get any better. I mean, ultimately, it's you know, the perception of the of that customer, and chances are others. And you know, your best, it's really important to pay attention to that feedback. Even if a customer walks up to you, say you don't have an online forum, you know, if a customer walks up to you, you know, or to any of your employees, you know, make sure that there's a mechanism in place that feedback gets to you so you can take action on it. Because you know, that customer took the time to provide that feedback. So there's, you know, they want to see you change it.
Right. So let me ask you, if a company hires you and they bring you in and they say, here, you know, you got to make our team better, what do you usually do? I mean, is this like an intensive thing where you're there on a daily basis for a period of time? How does it work?
Well, it's a great question. So it really depends on the size of the company, where they're at in the process, what issues they feel they have and what they want to achieve, you know, coming out of it. I mean, essentially, I have a 7-step process that I take companies through. When I say 7 steps, you know, it's not a, you know, flip flip the switch and tomorrow it's all going to be perfect, but we're going to, you know, sit down together, you know, get a sense of what the current situation is, you know, and where do they want their new situation, what is the new normal, what do they want their new situation to look like, and then really start to dig in and see if they have the team that can provide that. And if not, you know, is it a training issue? Have maybe the current employees not been trained appropriately? Or is it possible that maybe some employees are not in the right positions? Or maybe should some of the employees not necessarily be on the team anymore? It's usually a combination, some more than others, depending on the company. And once we get to the point where we have the right team in place, you know, really rolling out a strong training program. And one of the things that I think a lot of companies really fall short on when it comes to training is, you know, it's one thing for me to train someone or a business owner to train someone, but ultimately, you know, we've all started in a new job at one point, and, you know, you're hearing all this new information, and to take all of that in exactly the way you heard it and know exactly what to do, you know, we're all human. And so ultimately the other piece that's really, really important that I encourage any company to do is once you've trained an employee, have them train you back. Have them after practicing for a while with what you've taught them, you know, have them tell you what the processes and procedures are for whatever it is you've just trained them. Because just because you've shared it with them doesn't mean that they've received it in the way that you wanted them to.
That makes a lot.
So that's
of sense.
A really big component, and then obviously carrying it through to, you know, making sure that there's the accountabilities in place. So, you know, anybody that those employees report to, if it's a bigger organization and there's levels, you know, making sure that the leaders of the organization are holding people accountable to the things that they've been trained to, and then retention beyond that, and, you know, not even customer retention, but also employee retention, because now that you've gotten your start. Our players on your team, you want to make sure that you keep them and that they stay and, you know, continue to wow your customers.
Yeah. So it's a whole thing. It's not just teaching people how to behave with customers, but it's a holistic sort of thing where you go in and you examine the entire big picture and make the necessary changes.
It really is. It's you know, it's an evolution. You know, there's components of what I just described that certainly could help, but in order for it to be sustainable for a long period of time, you know, I find that implementing the entire process really, really, really does the trick. Because ultimately, you want to have things in place that, you know, that are going to be sustainable. And the other nice thing is, you know, ultimately the goal is to retain customers. Or, you know, reclaim customers, retain customers, bring new customers in. But the other things that, you know, are, I call the, you know, either the gravy or the, you know, the icing on top of the cake is that, you know, your employees are going to feel so much more confident and happy at their jobs because they're going to be competent in what they do. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a job where you just really don't know what you're doing. I mean, it's unnerving to stand there, especially if you're mm-hmm. standing there in front of a customer and you just don't know what the answer is. I mean, it's just awkward and it's just not fun, and you leave going home every day feeling like you're not really doing your job. So it's, you know, it's great from that perspective, and because you have a higher caliber employee that you've hired, you know, that star player, that A player, you know, that takes things off your plate as the, you know, whether it's one of the leaders in the organization or the business owner, because ultimately, you know if you don't have people that are taking a leadership role or taking more accountability, you know, you're getting phone calls. How should I do this? How should I, even on your day off? Whereas if you have people that really are wanting to, you know, share your values and want to wow the customer, and they feel empowered to be able to help the customer, chances are they're going to be handling most of those things without bothering you. I mean, yes, the things that have to be escalated to you will be escalated to you, but there'll be a lot less, which will free up your time to do things that you need to focus on as the business owner or the leader of the organization.
Right.
How long do you normally spend with each company?
That's a great question, and it really varies on the size of the company, the severity of the issues. You know, the minimum amount of time I've spent with any company is about 6 or 7 months, and I don't mean like I move in and you know bring my jammies and they're dealing with this each and every day. It's more you know, we're working at it on a week to week basis, so there's a lot of things that they need to do in between the time that we're meeting. So it's really how fast they want to move. It's really all about the client's agenda. I mean, that's the one thing the difference of a coach as opposed to a consultant. I mean, if you want someone to come in and implement something, that's a consultant. And ultimately, a coach is really driving the client's agenda. So, you know, the client has realized that they're noticing some of their online reviews aren't so great, and they're not sure how to handle that, it's a bigger problem than they can handle themselves. You know, maybe they just are noticing that customers, the same customers aren't coming in that used to come in, and that they're losing them, and they're concerned because ultimately it's a heck of a lot less expensive to keep your current customers than to go find new ones. I've also had clients that, we've worked together for a year or more, just because of the size of the organization and the level of speed, is really up to each client as well as to, what else they have on the agenda.
Right. Well, Lori Fortuna, thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can stop by and visit my website at lorifortuna.com. It's LoriFortuna.com. Or they can, certainly check me out at Lori Fortuna Coaching on Facebook. I'm there. And then Lori Fortuna on LinkedIn as well. So I would love to connect with anybody that might have some additional questions and chat about this a little bit more, because it's certainly a topic that is near and dear and very passionate to me.
Absolutely. And it's very relevant, I think, today more than ever, that there's so much competition and everything. I think there's no reason why companies shouldn't provide the best possible service out there.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, Lori, thank you so much, and I'm glad it finally happened. I could sit and talk to you for hours with this. Everybody go out and check Lori's website and everything, and LinkedIn as well. Find out a little more about her and get in touch with her. Lori, thank you again.
Thank you, and I appreciate you hanging in there with the persistence as well, Sam. I really do.
Well,
thanks so much, and
you guys
have a great day. And if I can help in any way in the future, I'd love to come back on and visit.
Awesome, and you've been very patient too and understanding, and I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, that was my pleasure.
Okay, Lori, thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, definitely relevant. Good service is hard to find.
Very.
Yeah. So going back to, we were talking about pressure to get married and everything.
Yes.
And I was telling you, see, I'm pretty good with my memory sometimes.
There you go.
Yeah. I guess I get sharper the less I sleep.
Maybe. Or the more interested you are in a topic. But hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is,
you were 26 and you had sworn you weren't going to get married till you were 30.
Till I was 30, right.
See, look, I remember too.
Yeah. No, definitely. You always listen. That's good.
Thanks.
And but having a better memory than me is really not an accomplishment. But at any rate, I'd gotten out of a long relationship, and I thought, I'm not going to get married till I'm 30. Then I met this woman when I was 26, and, on paper, she looked great, What I mean is, she was Jewish, the families got along, it was like, there was a lot of things about her that seemed like maybe she should be the one, but as I've spent time with her and stuff, and months went by, and I realized I'm not sure that she's the one, But the families had already gotten close to each other and everything, and it's suddenly like if I break up with her, it's like breaking up the families. So it was a lot of responsibility, but I ended up marrying her. But I remember consciously that I did it because the pressure was there. You know, it's not because I really wanted to. I was not at a point where I felt I got to spend the rest of my life with this woman.
Yeah. How long were you guys together?
A long time. We were together for about, 9 months, I think, or 6 months, and then we got engaged and got married about a year later. So, but we were together.
How long were you married?
Yeah, 7 years.
Okay.
7 years.
You gave it a while.
I did.
So I'm actually reading Aziz Ansari's Modern Romance. The book he wrote, Modern Romance.
Who was that now?
Aziz Ansari.
Oh, yeah.
And he is very fascinating in the way he approached this book because everything is so funny the way he tells it.
Right?
It's like it, from his voice. So he makes jokes throughout. And like I've read it, a lot of it on the plane, both to and from North Carolina. And I was laughing out loud, like next to people on the plane, like giggling like a freak. But he did research on, you know, like why people got married, you know, many years ago, what their reasons were, what brought them together, what were some of the criteria they checked off versus now. And like what you're saying is exactly true. He was saying how he interviewed seniors, you know, not that you're a senior, but that's where he went. He went to like,
a senior's home.
So just to get the perspective. And so they said, well, the person that they married usually was somebody that lived close by.
Right.
Or that, like, they knew each other's families.
Right.
Or that they went to the same temple. Or they went to the same church. Or, like, these people were the people around them.
Sometimes in the same building, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You see, if your memory served you right, we already talked about that when I read the book.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you did now, because now we can talk about it, you know.
Well, I'm not finished with it yet. I'm halfway through, and I find it fascinating, because I'm in the part where he's talking about, like, the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Of, texting and dating apps and why, like, having so many choices is an issue and having no choice is an issue.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the middle, there's probably like a happy medium, but we're not there.
Right. Exactly. And we're exposed to so many people, and there's just so much competition out there for dating that it's not like it used to be. You know, I mean, people's world really was their little town, their street, their neighborhood.
Right.
And that's who you married.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now you have a million people. You literally have a million options, because if you go on, let's say, even 5 dating apps, you can access all the people in the world.
Yeah.
If you set your range to like your distance range to, I don't even know what, but like you can make it pretty far, so you can reach people even in, let's say, New York, and we're in LA. So I could start a relationship with somebody in New York and never have met them otherwise unless it was through this dating app.
Exactly. Exactly.
But now it comes down to like, okay, well, how do you sort through all these people? You know, and people get fatigue, like dating fatigue.
Yeah.
And I have faced that many times where I've like quit the dating apps and started it again. And then I've come up with a new strategy. And it's like, what am I doing? This is actual work. This is a real job. It's a second job to all my other jobs. So I'm at the part now where he's talking about like, okay, if you're going to write 5 girls on a, let's say you're a guy and you're going to write 5 girls on a dating app, what to say to them? Do you write a long thought out text? Do you write just, hey, what's up? Do you tailor each message and spend all this time constructing like these perfect messages to people? And will they even write back?
Yeah.
Do they care?
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting experiment that he did to see what people actually respond well to. I'm like, now everyone should read this book, because I only have the knowledge, and Sam, you have the knowledge, but the other people in the dating apps need to have the knowledge.
They
otherwise,
they don't know
what I know, and they're going to write something to me, and I'm going to be like, ugh, get away. And most often I am, ugh, get away. And some people have been like, oh, you're too picky, or really, you're going to stop responding to somebody because they said that? Well, yeah, because this shows me all of these things.
Yeah, exactly. But we do have a shorter attention span. I don't think we give people the break they deserve.
No, and I agree with that. So I do think if you're going to be on the dating apps and you are looking for something real, you have to put in the time and effort.
Yeah.
I mean, you can obviously sort through the ones that are not in the same position as you and are using it just to meet or hook up or entertain themselves like a game.
Yeah.
I mean, Tinder started like a game.
Yeah.
It was like flashcards.
I know, and it's still like a game to me. You know, I mean, that's why nothing ever comes out of it, because I just sort of drop off, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I connected with a couple women where we went into texting and stuff, but nothing really happened.
Well, I think it has to be the person, you know, like if you really want something, you'll make it happen. My right. cousin's sister, so my other cousin, again, if you will, at this past wedding, brought her boyfriend, who she met on Tinder.
Really?
Yeah, and they've been together, and he was at the wedding. So they're in a serious relationship, and they met on Tinder. But it's because she was looking for something, and he was looking for something.
Right.
They met. They had things in common. They also had mutual friends. They really gave it, you know, a shot. I think you have to be in that position and that mindset. Otherwise, it's going to fall flat like everything else.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and well, this is a good segue, I think, because we're talking about weddings and marriage and stuff. And maybe we should talk about the Lamar Odom thing, because I'll tell you what's funny is that I didn't know anything about him. I didn't even know he was with Khloe Kardashian. They were married, right?
Yes.
With Khloe Kardashian. Yesterday, they played on Howard Stern and interview that they did with the Kardashians back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And at that point, she said, yeah, we met and we got married after 30 days.
Yep.
You knew that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I didn't. So, but it's amazing to always hear people as they're getting married or right after or, you know, with those fancy weddings. I mean, I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, but sometimes you just put so much into the wedding. And then this thing doesn't work out, you know? I mean, what, like a year later they separated?
No.
No?
No.
Was it more than that?
Yeah.
2 years maybe?
I mean, they're divorced. They filed for divorce or something like at 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years.
Oh, 4 years.
Right.
Okay, well, I believe you. I'm not going to look it up. But yeah, so 4 years. Yeah, you're right, 4 years. So that would have been 2013 that they got divorced. So, yeah, so it's funny to talk to hear about, oh, he's my soulmate, he's my this, he's my that. And then you go, well, how do you know this after only 30 days? So all I'm saying is give yourself some time before you commit to somebody, because the real things about the person don't come out until later.
Right. I do think that if you're signing on for better or for worse, you should probably know what the for better and worse is going to be before you sign on.
Right,
like
on.
You can see some of the things in the beginning, like what you're saying, like how they. What's that quote about how like you can tell a lot about a person the way they deal with the rain, losing the luggage, or I don't know, something else. There's a third thing.
Yeah,
and
when they get angry,
right, and how they handle those situations, and do those things line up with you? Like for me, for instance, if somebody had road rage, I could never date them.
Yeah.
I could never.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to deal with that, you know?
Well, other people are fine with it because they might have road rage too.
Yeah, but I guess, but you know what? Yeah, I know because I used to be very uptight and everything and get angry at little things and frustrated and stuff. Now I'm not. Now I'm very calm. So when someone is like that around me, I don't feel comfortable with it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to see people getting mad.
No, and so I think, I mean, that's just a small example, but also, like, how people handle stress. That's basically the thing. And I couldn't be around somebody that, like, explodes all the time or, like, everything's the end of the world or it's super dramatic. That's just me. And you don't always see those things in the first, you know, month. Let's say you haven't traveled with somebody yet, and then you finally do, and they lose their mind at the airport. And they're a negative person. They complain to the, you know, flight attendant. They lose their luggage. A disaster.
Yeah.
Do you really want to spend your life with somebody that cannot keep it together?
No, that's true. That's true. You know, I mean, I used to be in a relationship where, I mean, I think traveling puts a lot of pressure on a relationship.
Right.
It really does, right? And I wonder why. I think it's because you're in a new situation that you've been, neither one of you has been to before together, and now you're trying to manage that situation, and everybody's pulling in different directions.
Yeah.
You think that's what it is?
I mean, I think so, just because, let's say you're going on a road trip with somebody. Or, for instance, this weekend, you know, I met my mom and her boyfriend in Atlanta. From there, we drove to North Carolina. Mm. So that was a three and a half hour drive.
Right.
From Atlanta, both ways. So, you know, that took, like, okay, I get into Atlanta at a certain time. They have to arrive at the airport at a certain time, yet they drove from Miami. So that's an 11-hour drive that they had to time for when I landed.
Wow.
Okay, then we stayed overnight in Atlanta, had to have dinner, like, then the next day leave, drive for 3.5 hours, get there at a certain time, coordinate with the people we were meeting. Like, there's a lot of logistics that go into it. And if somebody is not good at logistics, and maybe both people aren't, let's just say, who's going to plan anything?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like the blind leading the blind. Unless one person takes the role of being the planner and the other is happy to not be the planner and isn't trying to control things, it can work out. But you don't know that necessarily. I mean, you probably do.
But in a situation like that, you would know that if they're trying to control the situation too and if there's any sparks going on. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I could never be with somebody that either isn't good at planning or is trying to control the plans.
Right.
Like, just let me do my thing.
Yeah.
I'm good at it.
Exactly.
We all have our
strengths. So they should leave it to you.
Right. Or they can be better at it than me, or we can do it together and both be on the same page.
Yeah. But definitely you need someone to compliment you, not so much like you. You know, that's at least what I believe. Some people are saying, oh, you get along more with someone who's like you, but not necessarily so, you know, because if you're strong with a strong personality and you meet another person that's like that, there's going to be power struggle all the time.
There could be.
From experience.
There could be. I mean, I have a very strong personality, as you know.
Right.
However, I'm happy to take the back seat to someone that is a strong personality as well, because then I get a break for a change. I don't have to think of everything.
Yeah, but on the other hand, though, you may not get your way every time, or maybe most of the time, and that might be a problem for
you. But hopefully I would be with somebody that has good taste or makes good decisions.
Right.
So my way might not even be the best way, and I'm okay with it not being.
Yeah, well, that's good then. In that case, it's fine. But I can tell you, well, and that also sounds nice in the beginning, you know, but think of it a few years later. You know, when you guys are still struggling, like, let's do it my way. No, let's do it my way.
Well, hopefully by then you're not still struggling. You're either with them or you're not. Because you could know in a couple of months. Like, you know by just making plans with somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can learn a lot about people before you marry them. But you need some time, you know, give them some time. I mean, 30 days is a honeymoon.
Right.
There's no way she could have known how it's going to turn out, you know. So I don't know why they broke up. They said irreconcilable differences.
Which is what everybody says in the state of California.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, why they split was because of, I think, his drug use. And I think he was cheating because he would just go on benders.
Oh, really? So he was cheating?
Yeah, I think he would go on benders and just, like, lose it.
Wow. Because he was found at a brothel in Nevada. And they're saying that some people are saying they think there was cocaine, but one thing that was there was natural Viagra.
Mm-hmm.
He was taking like herbal Viagra or something, and he had like, what, 10 of them or something?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's a lot.
I don't know what's in it anyway.
Well, I don't know, but he has an addictive personality, and this is not his first like issue with substances.
Wow.
I mean, he's had a DUI before. I mean, he and Chloe separated a while ago.
Right, that's like 3 years ago.
Yeah, but they've still had a close relationship. And if anybody out there listening watches Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you've seen the evolution. So you see how their relationship deteriorated and he would go missing and it affected Khloe and the whole family because they were really close to Lamar. So obviously they don't want to see him in this situation, but also they didn't want to see Khloe suffering.
Right.
And she had the mindset of for better or for worse and like, well, this is my husband. I love him. He's going through a hard time. So she was very understanding of the whole thing. I mean, I would say that she probably still is very understanding if she's by his side.
Right.
But this is not a new thing.
Yeah. So this is so that's why maybe he's still telling her, I love you.
Yeah, because I don't think that he doesn't. I think it's just...
And she probably loves him too. Right. You know, just they couldn't get along for
some
reason.
No, they get along.
No, I mean, what I'm...
See, what he has demons, Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
And those demons come from a long history of battling very serious issues. Like, his dad was a heroin user, or maybe he still is, and would... Mm. You know, his mom died of cancer when he was 12. Then he had a child that died of... I don't know, like infant death, whatever that is called, at a very young infant age. So he's lost a lot of people and a lot of things in his life.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has a lot of great things in his life too, like his career, Khloe. But that's not necessarily going to get him through all of the hard things.
Right.
He needs to battle those demons and really come to a better place if he wants to live.
I think. And if he wants to have any kind of relationship with anybody.
Right.
Do they have kids of their own?
Khloe and Lamar?
Yeah, together?
No. She couldn't get pregnant, and it was sad to watch it on the show because, you know, that was what she wanted. She was like, we're married. I want to have babies.
Right.
She's the only one of her sisters that doesn't, except for, you know, Kylie and Kendall, but they're younger.
Right.
But I mean, I remember watching it and thinking that's a blessing to not have kids with this man who has so many issues.
Right, exactly. And I heard the interview with Howard Stern. It took place in 2009. She was 26 then. Mm-hmm. That's kind of early to know, you know, this is going to be your mate. Because I think otherwise, I mean, if she'd been with him longer, then she probably would have found out about all these demons.
Absolutely. I mean, and she did as the relationship unfolded. Right. But they were already married.
Yeah. Yeah, well. All right. Well, that's it. We just ran out of time. There's so much more to talk about today, but not enough time. So
it'll
we'll
have to be tomorrow.
Tomorrow we have a great guest, also a former FBI agent who wrote a book on how to survive.
Awesome.
Certain things. So it should be cool. I saw the book at a bookstore, and I saw that it was doing very well on the bestseller list. So we got a best-selling author.
Great. Can't wait to talk to this person.
Absolutely. And plan on listening to It's Complicated tomorrow at noon.
Yep. Right, we have a great guest as well.
Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.